Welcome to the Level Up English podcast, the best place to come to practice the English language, learn about the British accent and culture, with me, your host, Michael Lavers. Hello, English learners, and welcome back to the Level Up English podcast. My name is Michael, and this is the place to improve your English listening, but also have fun while we're learning as well. That's the idea here. And today we have something a little bit different. In fact, it's quite different because I've never done really anything like this before. So this is going to be a collaboration episode with Ariel Goodbody from the Easy Stories in English podcast. Now, I'm a really big fan of learning a language through reading. I think reading is such a great way to learn a language, learning vocabulary and grammar through a natural kind of method through reading. But of course, I'm also a big fan of learning through listening. That's why I make a podcast. You know, I'm much better at talking than I am at writing. I hope so, anyway. So I'm a big fan of these two things together. And that is why I think this resource, this podcast I'm sharing today, is going to be useful for you. So Ariel Goodbody is a language teacher and an author. And in today's episode, I'm going to be sharing or cross-posting one of the episodes from his podcast. And it's not exactly what you might think of when you think of a podcast. It's really more of a story. So what Ariel does is really quite useful. Ariel pre-teaches the vocabulary, maybe the hard words before the story, and then reads the story in a really nice, clear and understandable voice. It's very easy to follow. And I think that's quite an effective way of sharing the story about, you know, you kind of learn these words before and then you're listening for these words in the story. And it may take a few listens if you really want to get serious about it, because you might listen for the first time and focus on the language, and then you might listen a second time and focus on the meaning behind the story. And I think this story could be seen in quite a deep way, but I suppose it's open to interpretation. I've never been very good at interpreting as stories and poems. It's not kind of how my brain works, but maybe you'll find something meaningful in this story today. Just a quick shout out then to Easy Stories in English. You can find the content at easystoriesinenglish.com. Of course, you can also find it on any podcast app like Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And there are many stories ranging from beginner to advanced. If you go to the website, you'll also see the transcripts for these stories as well. So that's why I mentioned reading before, because you can read and listen at the same time, or do one and then the other. There's many ways you could go about learning with these stories. And if you check out the website, there's also a book that Ariel has written and some courses as well. So I really hope you enjoy this story and this cross post. There's a lot of great collocations, phrases, and vocabulary in the story. So listen carefully and I'm sure you will learn something new. Anyway, we'll get right into it now. And then I will see you at the end after the story to say goodbye and share some more information with you before we go. But let's get into it. Hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to Easy Stories in English, the podcast that will take your English from okay to good and from good to great. I am Ariel Goodbody, your host for this show. Today's story is for intermediate learners. The name of the story is Four Windows. You can find a transcript of the episode at easystoriesinenglish.com/windows. That's easystoriesinenglish.com/windows. WINDOWS. There, you can also download the episode as a PDF. Just a warning, today's story contains suggestions of drug use, addiction, and depression. Okay, I'll just explain some words that are in today's story. Scrub, S-C-R-U-B, means to rub something very hard, usually in order to clean it. If you have stone floors and they get dirty, you'll need to scrub them clean. Some people like to scrub their body using a sponge called a loofah to make their skin smoother. Mundane, M-U-N-D-A-N-E, means ordinary and boring. Things like paying bills and washing the car are mundane. But casting magic spells and flying on a dragon's back is not mundane. Well, unfortunately, it looks like we're very much living in a world of mundanity. Warfare, W-A-R-F-A-R-E, is the act of fighting a war. Warfare has changed a lot over the centuries. In modern warfare, there is much more technology used than in the past. A quirk, Q-U-I-R-K, is an unusual or unexpected part of someone's personality. For example, someone might have a quirk that they hate ice cream and donuts, which is unusual because almost everyone likes them. Personally, I have a lot of quirks, but I think you know that. An aerosol can, A-E-R-O-S-O-L, is a can filled with liquid at a very high pressure. When you press a button on top of the aerosol can, the liquid sprays out very quickly. Whipped cream is often kept in an aerosol can, for instance. In the past, aerosols used chemicals called CFCs, which damaged the ozone layer. But fortunately, that is no longer the case. Pristine, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, means very clean and new. If you have an object in pristine condition, it looks the same as it did when it was new. Of course, if you use something often, it's very hard to keep it pristine. When you sleep longer than you should, you sleep in. For example, maybe your usual wake-up time is 6 a.m. Every day you wake up at 6 a.m. But on the weekends, you sometimes sleep in until 8 a.m. or even 10 a.m. I like sleeping in on the weekends, but it's kind of a bad habit. It's usually better to go to bed earlier than to sleep in. A rut, R-U-T, is a mark that a wheel leaves in the ground. In the past, carriages drove down mud roads and they left ruts in the mud. The ruts were shaped like the bottoms of the wheels. We often use this word as a metaphor. We talk about being stuck in a rut, which is when you keep doing the same things again and again and can't change. Distort, D-I-S-T-O-R-T, means to change the shape of something so that it looks wrong or unnatural. If you look through very old glass, it will distort what you see. And if a television is broken, it will distort the image you receive. Magnifying glasses also distort images slightly, but they do make them easier to read. The moral of a story, M-O-R-A-L, is the message you should learn from the story. Basically, the moral is what the story is trying to teach you. For example, the moral of Little Red Riding Hood is to not talk to strangers. The moral of The Boy Who Cried Wolf is to not lie. But not all stories have morals, and the morals aren't always clear. Okay, so listen and enjoy. Four windows. Flat 33, Building A, was basically perfect. It had no more windows than the other flats, but light poured into it, as if it was chosen by God himself as the place of his second coming. Its furniture was pure white, like an angel's feathers, and the floor reflected light like a mirror. It must take great work to keep it clean, but it did not look like the kind of place where one would sweat and scrub. Elegant people would move through it with gentle ease, finding joy in the mundane act of cleaning. Flat 33, Building B, looked like it had been abandoned. At first, you might think its walls were painted with stripes of angry colour, until you realised these were marks made by furniture, alcohol, spilt food, and various unpleasant activities. No amount of angelic scrubbing would clean these walls, but their owner didn't seem to care. The only furniture in the living room was an ancient sofa, which stared into an old television with a cracked screen, and beyond that, into the living room of the other flat. I lived between these two spaces, and I shared the obsessions of the man from Building A and the woman from Building B. I was luckier than them, though, because while the man could spend all day staring at the woman, and the woman could pass her hours staring at the man, I could observe them both. Never before had these two seen their opposites. They knew that people like that existed, but in far-off, unfriendly places. Now, a person like that stood in front of them, lived opposite them. I, of course, had seen far stranger and far sadder people in my time. The great cities of the world are the enemy of mundanity. But it was their obsession with each other, the shock that became curiosity, that became mental warfare, that made them so special. Separately, they were zoo animals, each with their quirks, but not worth more than a few hours watching. Together, they were an aerosol can and a hungry flame. The man from Building A woke up early every morning. He walked out in a pristine white towel, but got distracted on his way to the bathroom. He would see something out of place, a lamp that was slightly too far to the right, and move it. And then he'd see some dust, and he'd dust it. And then he would rearrange his bookshelf. And then, by the time he got to the shower, his flat was pristine, and he was sweating. The woman from Building B only saw this rarely, because she usually slept in. It was only when she came back in the early hours of the morning from one wild party or another that she could watch the man work like an ant. She moved to the sofa like a snake, not that he could hear her, and took pleasure in the hurried movements of this tall man. The man almost certainly saw her once or twice, but he was so focused on cleaning that he never gave her more than a quick glance. The woman never watched for too long. She soon started yawning and would wander to bed. Sometimes, she lay down on the sofa and watched him until her eyes fell shut. This did not mean that the woman from Building B was lazy. Every day at 8:30, her alarm sounded and she rolled awake. With the speed of a tornado, she fell into the shower, scrubbed herself, threw some liquid food or cigarettes down her throat, and left the house dressed in a smart business suit, her dirty black hair tied up behind her. Once a year, she got it cut down to a few short inches. The man from Building A watched this, of course, while enjoying a mug of something. Coffee, you would assume, out of some shiny machine. But on some days the mug steamed, and on others it didn't. The man didn't seem to work, but these days work is such an ambiguous word. He spent time reading, if that can be considered work, though his eyes never rested on the pages for long. He sat at his computer, after dusting the desk and wiping the screen, and clicked and typed and did something important. And surely he must have done some kind of work, because he had food, although he never ate much, and every week or so he would disappear into the city and return with a gorgeous painting or stylish sculpture. In truth, there were more colours than just white in his house, but the way he moved through it sucked them all out of the air. There was no doubt that the woman from Building B was working hard. Each evening she came back with her face hanging below her knees. She undid the buttons of her shirt, pulled a drink from the fridge, and collapsed on the sofa. She watched TV, probably some terrible show. How would I know? She barely laughed at it. Several hours later, she would pick herself up, change into ripped jeans and a band shirt, call some friends, or go out. As the months passed, the ruts they lived in grew deeper. The man's flat got cleaner, purer, more pristine and more artistic, but equally less human. The woman's flat grew dirtier, warmer, livelier. The parties never seemed to stop. The bags under her eyes were as deep as her rut of exhaustion. They watched each other. They envied. They dreamed of being in the other's shoes. They compared their ruts and thought the others didn't look so bad. Yes, he spent too much time cleaning, but his life was so organized. He knew what he was doing. He got up early. Yes, she was always tired and lived like a pig, but she had friends. Her life was full of joy. She went to bed and slept in whenever she felt like it. That's what I thought they were thinking. You see, my eyes are windows too. And windows, even the most perfect ones, distort. Light travels differently through them. Some things grow, others shrink. Just as our thoughts are distorted when they travel through our lips, the world is distorted as it passes into our soul. The two never met, you know. Did you think they would see each other at a party, confess to their envy, and discover that they were wrong all along? That they had seen each other's quirks through a broken piece of glass, the image distorted? That would not be the story of a great city, where aerosol cans sit neatly on supermarket shelves, and flames are fed every few centuries. I know what happened. I saw through the other windows, the windows that look into our dark, wet insides. Bathroom windows. I know I shouldn't stare, but, well, I was doing my job. I saw the only room that the man left dirty, though it was still filled with white. Neat rows of white powder sat like dead fires, ready to burn at any moment. I saw the only room that the woman kept clean, although she often washed the sink with her tears and nothing else. I heard his heart stop in the shower, one time when he tried to wash himself to sleep, because the silence of a heart stopping is loud enough to break every window in a small German town. But not a great city. I heard her shout over the phone to her friend, not angry, just passionate with exhaustion. I'm going to change. I'm going to be like that man. I'm going to clean up. I'll quit that stupid job. I'll sob, sob, sob. But the woman from Building B did change. She had already begun the process long before she moved there, long before her eyes distorted the image of the man from Building A. The drinks she stole from the fridge had no alcohol in them. The job she worked paid well, although she hated it, and the friends she brought round were those who had suffered the same addictions she had. In reality, her rut was ending. The earth was smoothing out. Her life was becoming deliciously mundane. The man from Building A could never have changed. His ancestors weighed on him like mountains of coal, the coal they had pulled from the earth so many decades ago. The money flowed into his computer, into his furniture, into his tired blood, and all he could do was make things pure and perfect while his heart stayed black and empty. They were never fighting against each other. This is a great city, remember? Two rats do not fight while a cat holds their tails. Their warfare was always inside them, trapped in the four walls of their flats, the four corners of their lives. The woman from Building B did not realize he had died. She went to stay with a friend for a while, and when she came back, there was a new person in the flat opposite her. He displayed an offensive amount of colour. She waved at him. He closed the curtains. What a shame, she thought. But I suppose he was too good for this place. She got on with her life, and it was rather boring, but she was happy. Or am I just speaking for myself? If you're wondering what the moral of the story is, I'm afraid I have to disappoint you. I don't have a clue. I'm just a window cleaner. The end.
And there we have it. That is the story. What did you think of it? There had some dark moments in it, and it was also almost had a little twist at the end, which kind of gave you more information about the narrator. The narrator is the person who is telling the story. But yeah, I thought it was quite interesting. So let me know what you thought of it, and let me know if that works for you, if you like learning through stories, or if you prefer kind of a non-fiction, maybe rambling like I normally do. I don't know. Let me know what you think. But obviously, if you want to hear more, then check out Ariel's podcast or website, Easy Stories in English. As always, I'm going to share with you a quote related to stories just before we go today. But first of all, let me say thank you to two of you who left reviews on Apple Podcasts. So I've got one here from K9110111 from Hong Kong. And this person said, very clear dictation with dozens of interesting topics. Definitely deserves 5 stars. Well, thank you very much. Really appreciate the 5 stars. It helps me a lot. So thank you. One from I Amorous from Saudi Arabia. And this person says, I hope you have a great day. I'm one of your fans who listens to your podcast every single day. I really like the way you speak about the topics you choose. They are usually beneficial. Thank you for all the efforts for making a great podcast. Keep going. Well, thank you so much. That's really kind of you, and I'm glad you enjoy it as well. Every day. That's amazing. Wow. So yeah, thank you to you and anyone who leaves a review. It helps me massively. So I appreciate that. Let's end now, as promised, with a quote about stories. I quite like this one. This is from Jean or Jean. I guess if it's French, it's like Jean. I don't know who this person is, I'm sorry, but if it's English, it's Jean. But I'm going to go Jean-Luc Godard. I might have got it wrong, but anyway. That person said, sometimes reality is too complex. Stories give it form. I quite like that framing, that way of looking at reality, that, you know, looking at life, that it's so confusing, it's so complex, but writing a story that has a message behind it can kind of organize it and give it form. And it's much, I guess that's why we like stories, right? I guess that's why stories are so important to humanity, because it gives form to such a complex life that we live in. But anyway, I'll leave it there for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please give me your feedback. That's always nice. And I will be with you on Friday for a bonus podcast. If you're a member at Level Up English, I'm going to be kind of rambling about my recent trip to Malaysia. I just want to talk about that. It's not going to be an English lesson. It's going to be me talking off the cuff, randomly sharing my feelings about it. So if you want to join me there for a one-sided chat, you can. Otherwise, I will see you next week for a big podcast episode. So hope you look forward to that, and I'll see you then. Goodbye for now. You have been listening to the Level Up English podcast. If you would like to leave a question to be answered on a future episode, then please go to levelupenglish.school/podcast. That's levelupenglish.school/podcast. And I'll answer your question on a future episode. Thanks for listening.